Hey everybody, welcome to a little special podcast that we don't get an often get to do often, I should say. And it's with my old buddy here, Scott Wakefield.
Your schedule is always a little bit mixed up.
Well, and Scott requires special time. He's very particular. He likes to be spotlighted by
I'm
himself.
careful. I'm careful with the company I keep.
That's right. But anyway, we're glad you're here. You're listening, watching. Glad to have you with us. So,
To all my
Scott's,
fans out there.
we do this for your fandom. Yeah. And by the way, would you go ahead and put a plug for your blog?
I did. Yes, I do write a blog page whenever I have the time, free time to do that, which is getting less and less frequent these days until we get take some more vacation time. But
Okay.
what
So
is
what
what's
say the address, Scott, so then they have.
my Scott page at blogspot.com.
Okay, and we'll put that at the bottom of our description so you can see that again, and people can read up on all the fine, eloquent writing.
Just what I need, more critics.
Yeah.
And Dennis, you might want to mention your new executive assistant that you have.
Oh no, that he his behind the scenes. We won't even,
Dennis has a new secretary that's.
In this world of AI assistants, we're trying a little something which will be hidden and of no consequence to our listeners viewers today.
The bad thing
So
is that
anyway,
you can't fire the assistant if something goes wrong.
well, I have yes, I still have the ability to turn them off or shut them down, whichever. So we won't get off on that. We want to focus on the issue at hand today. You have something very much on your heart. You've been going through a season here where various struggles and challenges have been presented to you, and you've
It's
been.
interesting that you call it a season because what is a season? A season is a temporary time. So
Exactly.
it's like the harvest season or the spring season or planting season, as the old farmers would say.
And aren't we fortunate to live in a climate that has four seasons? I don't know what I would do if I lived in a climate that was just all one season, all one, yike.
Yeah, it's all about climate. It's all about climate change anyway.
So this season will pass and it's something
Yes.
else will change.
And
But
I realize that, and I know as you know, we've been going back and forth about this, for the past couple of weeks. I've been trying to badger you for, clarification of answers, and
Sure.
that I've been looking for. And I can envision you know, every time I ask you a question, I can envision you looking at your phone and throwing it against the wall because you're so tired of me. So,
No. No,
but
not at all. Now,
the.
truthfully, when you pose those questions at me, I relish those as times to, okay, rethink, review,
Yeah.
research, okay? And it's good. I appreciate those. So
What
hopefully
I'm
my comments back to you have been of some help.
still weighing the like we said before we started the before we started recording is I was waiting for for the prayers that I've been offering and the requests. I've been waiting for the confirmation or in direction in the other way. And I think what I related to you was that I think there was something there. There was a confirmation, but I just wasn't sure. And that brings us to the question, the first question that I wanted to throw out there. And it was the same question that you had posed when you read my blog this morning is how do we know if our request is legitimate, or if it's something from the flesh. And my response before we started was that I think that if we know a good way to know if it's coming from our flesh is that it's something that we are asking for personal gain. The old, remember the old name it and claim it phase that the churches went through.
Let's back up a little bit and give a little background for our listeners here, you're talking about asking God for something, or it's a prayer request. And we've been talking about, you and I, back and forth, okay, what is the basis for our asking? How do we know that we're asking in the right way? How do we know God hears us? What are the ways that we can be assured that He's going to answer our prayers? And
The
you
response
mentioned.
you put out this morning with, how do you know when a word is from your flesh or truly from God?
Exactly. Let's just comment on that. What we're referring to here is Jesus many times tells us that we can ask for anything, but if you look in the broader context of how he sets this up, the anything isn't just anything that we conjure up in our own spirits or flesh, or either way. It's something that has been posed or dropped into our hearts, our spirits, by God Himself or by the Spirit. And particularly the passage that you were talking about, Mark 11, at 23 through 24, 25.
Mark 11, 23, 24.
Yeah, it says there, Mark, let's see, maybe I should get the exact
This is
address.
from
Sorry.
this is for when Jesus incinerated the fig tree
You caught me on that.
with the hellfire that he brought down from above.
Incinerated. I thought you meant insinuated.
No, it's like a total
Yeah.
Barney Bush thing. I mean,
Yeah, exactly. So 23, you know, you're right, he cursed the tree. And so he's saying, if you have faith of God, verily I am saying to you that whatsoever you may be saying to this mountain be picked up and cast to sea, and may not be doubting in his heart, but should be believing that what he is speaking is occurring. It shall
Is
be
that all we
his
need?
whatsoever he may be saying. Okay,
Is
so
that all
what
we
he,
need? Is that all we need for
well,
our request to be answered?
ho hold on. What does he mean by faith of God?
Well, there's another scripture out there,
Well,
and
yeah, okay.
I hate to bring that, but it kind of dovetails into what we're talking about.
Okay.
See, he who comes to God must first believe that he exists.
Okay, granted. But
I
how does
believe
that,
that God exists.
okay, so what is it, how is that answering here, verse 23, if you have faith of God?
Well, the faith that he is.
Yeah, that yes,
That he exists.
that's one part or one element of faith, but here we're talking about a specific type of faith, Scott. I think you'll agree with me if you look at this passage. Jesus is saying, and he's just illustrated something. He gave them an illustration right from nature. He's he, as you say, he's incinerated this fig tree because it's not producing the way it should be, and so he says, "Be withered," and it is. Now, on what basis does he have the right to do that to that tree?
That he's God. He can do that.
Well, no, he's not. Okay, this is going to throw people, and this is going to go on the record, and people are going to say, "Okay, we're losing you." Did Jesus
Careful,
ever call
careful.
himself God? Okay, did Jesus ever call himself God?
No, but he simply stated, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father as well.
Exactly. He had the oneness with the Father, but he never called himself God. He calls him the he calls himself the Son of God.
I don't even think he was
Well,
accused before the court of claiming he was God.
yeah,
He was accused of claiming he was the Son of God.
to them it's the same thing. It was close enough association. Okay, so the courts relegated that as blasphemy. All right, but the question is, God, what is he saying here? What does he mean if you have faith of God?
What did Jesus believe when he said to that fig tree, never, never
Okay.
produce fruit again?
All right.
What was Jesus's expectation?
Okay.
His
Let's.
expectation was that tree was gone
And where did he get that expectation?
from the Father.
Aha. When you get an expectation from the Father, is that not what is referred to as faith? Faith is seeing what the Father sees.
But then we can come back and say, what is an expectation from the Father?
Expectation is built on what you know is going to be happening. It's a promise that will occur. It will happen.
So if we've got, putting that into my situation, if we have got a confirmation that there
Well, let's use
is,
your terms, expectation.
yeah.
Okay.
That I expect to be doing the same thing that I have been doing.
Okay, all right.
Now, some people might call that presumptuous.
Well, now, okay, you let's focus on what the expectation is built on. What is expectation really? What does it really stem from? Where do you get this expectation?
My thought was I've made my request known to him,
Okay.
and that my expectation is that, okay, he knows that's the desire of my heart, so that is the rock on which I stand. That is.
Okay. And that's all fine and good. But that's you. Can you just walk up to a fig? Can you walk up to a fig tree and say, "Be withered"?
We're about to get into another hot seat sticky situation here, so.
Well, I'm asking, what in you gives you the authority or just the audacity to walk up to a tree and say, "You no longer exist"?
The faith of God.
Ah. So does that, is it something you yourself are thinking?
No. No.
Okay. Yep, that idea of withering that.
Jesus has given us that authority. If
Aha.
we have
Where?
the if we
But.
have the belief and we have the trust and the knowing that that's something that we can accomplish.
Okay. Let's hear Jesus on this. Did he not say, "I do not do anything but what I see the Father doing"? Okay. In fact, he said, "I don't even speak
No.
unless I hear the Father saying."
What he was doing, the Father was working through him.
Exactly. So, what was his expectation?
Was that the Father would do his work through him?
Exactly.
It wasn't Jesus who was withering the fig tree, it was the Father.
Absolutely. So, when we are requesting things from the Father, do we have the expectation when we ask that he's already said, "This is what's going to happen"?
Not the way I see it.
In other words, you're saying you can go ahead and ask without
And
his.
you see that's the dilemma that I've been running into, honestly.
Okay.
Now, for Mark 11, 23, 24 kind of clears it up for me a little bit.
Little bit.
Whereas we can, you and I can have two different things that we pray for. And if we have the assurance that the Father is working on our behalf, then our requests will be honored.
If there it is. If we have the expectation, you say assurance that the Father is working, it's not us, it's the Father, then hey, we just say, "Okay, God, do it."
Just to get this straight, for people who are listening.
Yes.
I'm like Jesus.
All right.
I can do nothing on my own.
Absolutely.
It's not through me. It's by the love and the grace and the will of the Father that is going to come to pass. Did you see the little light bulb go on over my head with this?
Well, your face does light up certain times. I mean, you're
yeah. That's what the girls say.
Yeah. So, how then do we pray? He says, verse 24, Mark 11, whatever you are praying and requesting, be believing that you have obtained it and it will be yours.
You get into something what some church going people would call praying with confidence.
Okay.
I think I heard you use that every now and then when you were still on staff. Friends.
Okay. I don't recall that exact phrase, but go ahead.
Praying with confidence is asking for the Father's assistance, fully expecting that he's going to provide.
Well, okay.
But like others might say, that's arrogance on our behalf. But
no. If going back to our conversation just a moment ago about verse 23. Why would you not have confidence in praying if you've heard from God that this is what he intends to do?
That's it. You just opened the door there.
Pandora's box or good.
No, it's when you said that the statement you made is if you've heard from God. Then he's telling you something.
Sure.
He's telling me something.
Yes.
And I think that's what's happened.
Okay.
But okay. I get so hard headed all the time that I have to come to you for answers for the
well.
I should put you on paid staff is what I should.
Yeah. Well, yes, right. Yeah. Glad to be on your staff. But you're hearing and listening and hearing God speak more beyond me. I'm glad to be a part of it, but I'm not your sole answer man. But it's exciting though, Scott, when we then realize, okay, God, it's almost like God, tell me what to ask you for. Okay,
we do not know what. To pray for.
Exactly.
But Jesus is what offers prayers for us.
Well, yes, his spirit is, we've got stuff stirring in our hearts that we've never even put words to or ideas to, but they're there in our spirit. God has placed them there.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, yeah, God, this is what you're stirring in Scott and Dennis's hearts. Let's see it happen.
This is another question. This is the sticky point that I wanted to bring up. And I think I mentioned this this week sometime.
Yeah.
Our little back and forth thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear from God, well, you're drinking water too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Good old H2O.
When we hear from God that's something he puts that on our heart and says, this is what we need to be asking.
Right.
How could we know or understand that is from the flesh? If God in Christ, if Christ is in us, aren't his desires ours as well?
Yes, this is the basic question we started out with, I believe. How do we know that what we're hearing from God is really him and not just something being conjured up in our minds?
Well, how do we know?
Yes. Okay. And that's where it gets down to brass tacks.
I mean, the flesh is neutral, so it doesn't have any ability to.
Well, it is neutral. Yes, I'll stand on that. But we are very prone to fall back into the use of the flesh because it's oftentimes our default. I mean, the
Let me
flesh
get
has.
back. Let me get back to praying for personal gain instead of.
Yes. Okay. But that doesn't often come about, Scott. It gets really, let's muddy the waters here. I'll give you an example. And about, oh, I don't know how many years now. But
About
back in
5 to 10.
2013, 14, I think it was 14, we had made a major shift in our ministry to focus more on downsizing men's events and making them more focused and relational.
Remember, I was
So,
there.
okay. And you recall this.
Yep.
And
There's a
we
couple
just,
people who wanted to continue with the men's conferences and
well, yes, that being said, yes. But what we had decided, and maybe you were part of this, I can't recall, but we decided, okay, we're going to do our own mini conference. And we already had the speaker in mind, the subject in mind, and the conference venue in mind. In fact, we went ahead and put money, reserved the conference facility, spent weeks, every week out there with the team praying and doing logistics planning. And Scott, the day before the event, we had one registrant.
I remember that.
One guy only.
We had to cancel that one, if I remember.
We had to pull the plug.
Yeah.
And I look back on that situation and I saw it. Wow, what a door slammed in our face. But then I went to prayer over it and say, Father, I think we missed it on this one. I'm not sure you were really leading. I, in my own heart, was really intent on transitioning the ministry and utilizing a different venue and speaker and moving. I wanted to move into a theme that I thought was very pertinent. But it was very obvious, Scott, that I was missing really what God was doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as I look on that, I think, how did I miss that? Aren't my desires his desires? Isn't my heart wanting to build a ministry or transition it? Isn't that what God wants?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. And it was clearly evident to me. And he was.
Is there some truth to the notion that he will reveal those things to us in due time?
Sure. What it taught me, Scott, is further discernment in knowing and watching what the Father's doing. I had in my mind that this venue, this conference, was going to be what God was doing, but I realized I really didn't have that you call expectation. As I look back on it, I never really had that. I was going on an assumption.
Yeah.
So,
What was the moment when you finally received that word and received the knowing in your heart that that wasn't.
well, it the Lord, Father was teaching me, and normally these kind of things would have cost a great deal. I would have been upside down in what investment we'd made in the venue, whatever. But all of that amazingly worked out within a matter of days. We were going to be liable for hundreds and hundreds of dollars, almost akin to next to $1,000 in deposits and so forth. But in a matter of days, the venue told me, well, the only way out of this contract is if we get a call for someone who wants to pick up your contract. Well, lo and behold, in a matter of days, she calls me and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know a major institution here in this area wants to pick up your contract because they want those dates and want to have our venue. You're free."
Well,
Wow.
I think at that moment is when you know, hey, this is something that the father desired.
Well, it had told me the graciousness of the Father. Yeah, you went ahead, you stepped out, and realized I was not in it. But I'm going to show you my grace is still there, and I can cover for you. Now, this is not to say it way it happens all the time. All right, sometimes we do pay for the consequences of our mistakes, but in this lesson, God was definitely teaching me, or let's say, helping me refine my ability to watch for him. And as I look back on that in that scenario, I know of a number of things we missed. Okay. I didn't have any numbers of people calling me and saying, "Oh man, could you reschedule? We want to come." And you just say it. I'm bringing a team of guys. We had none of that, Scott. We were just assuming that if we if we build it, they'll come, right? Yeah, and so it was.
Well, like you said, working under the assumption.
Exactly. So
How could you?
what I'm getting at, bring this back down, land the plane on this. What I'm getting at is we really need to be sure that we are seeing the Father working in this regard. In other words, we need to see another signposts. We need to not only kind of have this word tucked into our own spirit that we're it's just won't go away. We need to see outward signs. We need to see a number of ways that he indicates, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And like I said, in that particular illustration, had we seen guys call me and say, "Hey, when is your next conference? Tell us how can we get more involved?" We're none of that. See,
Yeah.
I was not seeing any of those signposts, and I realized that. So we need to have those signposts. We need to see the God updates. We need to see the ways that the Father is pursuing.
Is it wrong to ask him for his confirmation of the
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Father, show me. If
Yeah.
I can't see it, Father, he's gladly. That kind of thing is, I believe, where the Father's at. I want to show you me. I want you to see me. And the Father wants to be seen and known. Absolutely.
And of course, not for us to say, boy, this, look what I did, but for you to say this, it God is the one that's doing this.
See, all you have to do is really study Jesus in his earthly ministry to watch how this worked out in his life. And
Yeah.
like I said, he had no personal desire to incinerate that victory,
No.
but he knew this is what the Father was doing. So he just said it. And he goes about and talking in that same passage. If there's a mountain that needs to be moved, okay, let's see if God wants to move that mountain. And all you have to do is speak it.
There's only one instance, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's only one instance that I've run across in scripture where Jesus momentarily prayed for personal gain.
Okay.
And that was on the night before, on the night before his crucifixion,
Exactly. Yes.
where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Lord, but the way that he did it, God, if it be your will,
Right.
take this cup away from me.
Doesn't that help
So,
us look into that whole process deeper?
yeah.
And it tells you that Jesus, yes, he did
He
have his
was
own flesh desires. He
human. I mean, he was human after.
had his own ways or desires, and yet he learned and had learned all his life to put those aside.
Yeah.
Father, I know and seen. He already knew. I know what you are wanting to do here, Father, and I'm getting my life straightened around to join you, because I've been hesitant, because I know what it means. It's going to cost me, but I am confident this is what you're doing.
And you
You
see
see.
that's where I have a big issue. Well, you know, with the translators of the Bible and the original transcribers,
Oh, yeah.
is that they fail to provide a more detailed account of the life of Jesus,
Well,
from when he was young
yeah,
to,
okay.
you know, to his,
Yeah.
because you and I have talked about this before. Jesus, undoubtedly, when he was growing up, faced those situations.
Yeah. Well,
You remember that movie? Remember that movie, Young Messiah?
yeah, exactly. So if you can, in a few answering, might write a letter to Dr. Luke and say, what, how come you missed all that material?
Luke hasn't been returning my messages.
Okay. Yeah, I imagine he hasn't. But even John says, there could have been tons more that he could have said about Christ, but he said, I don't have books to fill, enough to fill
Yeah.
it, to fill. And so, yeah, I know there's a lot missing, but I, Scott, we have enough.
There is that little snippet of scripture. I think it was Paul that wrote it. It said, "We do not have a high priest who has not suffered as we do."
You say
Referring
that
to,
again. Yes, we do have a high priest.
yes.
Yeah, that's what you mean to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, say the same passage.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
Jesus did go through those
A
problems. He did go
absolutely.
through those times.
And don't you think that at any given point in his ministry, he was conscious of just what we're talking about? I'm, for instance, I'm convinced that in the throes of his healing people and interacting with people, there was an instance, I forget where it is exactly, that man, people are getting healed right and left. And then all of a sudden he cuts it off and moves, goes to another city. And they, oh, Jesus, wait a minute. There were more that you could, and I'm injecting here. There was more that wanted to be healed. Jesus, no, I need to go to this other city. So at that point, can you imagine in his flesh, he's enjoying the power and the authority to cast out devils and to cause people's arms to strengthen, whatever. And that had been a great buzz for him.
Yeah.
I know it is for anybody when you're participating in wonders and miracles that way. You want to just stay in that moment and say, oh God, this is great. And then you
And
realize.
isn't that the reason that the father pulled the plug and said, okay, now you need to.
Oh yeah. Going back to my illustration, that's exactly right, Scott.
Yeah.
It redefined what we were going to be about. The father just said, no, not conferences, but relational connections,
Yeah.
relational conversations. And so that began efforts for two or three of us to meet regularly, and that became the primary focus of our ministry, the small groups of guys, the one-on-ones,
Hey, that's
and
how the
then
gym rats were born.
there you go. And then Scott, and I give you this credit, we just surpassed 150 episodes of
Just
podcasting.
you and me?
No,
All the
altogether.
other ones, yeah.
We're good. You and I are maybe about, oh, 25% of those at least, or more, all right? Because you and I don't get often the chance to be one-on-one like this. But when I look back on that, podcasting was really not something that I thought we could do or be challenged. You know, it was too much of a challenge for me. And yet you're insisting, oh, no, let's do it. Now,
Well,
you know
I
what I
look.
do? I looked at you in that and saying, God, you're in this. And look what happened.
I was the voice of reason.
I don't know how much reason there was, excuse me. But I look at you being a signpost and saying, no, this is what I want, where I want you to go. Little did I realize it was very uncomfortable for me to think about doing video or audio recordings, because I just thought, oh my goodness, there's so much vulnerability there. There's so much exposure. Oh, how do we say the right thing? But oh man, have we learned how to
how many people are we reaching just through this?
Yeah, I don't know what those numbers are, but they're significant.
Yeah.
I get notices and you know, the analytics show me that people are listening and actually downloading podcasts all over the country, all over the world. Now, we aren't anything super big, like a, whatever your most popular, you know, Tucker Carlson or whatever those podcasts are today. Yeah, no way.
Joel Osteen.
There you go. But
I never thought I could be so popular.
Exactly. For us, this guy is significant. And we see God doing this. I look at that 150 podcasts and say, wow, God, there's evidence that you were in that. I didn't particularly want to do it. Okay. So
it took my it took my nudging in order to get you into
it. Right, Scott, it was. And it's all of his plan was little by little unfolding for our particular, and I can't say our, I want to say his ministry through us.
Yeah. Right?
This isn't our thing. It's God's thing through us. He's chosen us to demonstrate who he is and his plan and his ministry. And however he uses this and where it goes and it's phenomenal to watch. Okay.
So as we rewind, is it fair to say that if we have a yearning on our heart that we would like to see come about, is it safe to say that there's a good chance that's from the Father?
Yes, I want to say it is.
You as long as it's not something like, you know, well, I would like to win that lottery ticket, you know. But
well, yes, some of those yearnings are pretty they're evident, whether they're personal gain or not, as you've mentioned. Okay, that's pretty easy to see that. But as I said, sometimes we have to spend a little more time contemplating and saying, Father, I have this desire. I need more confirmation. I need for you to show me the other signs. I wanted to just take a moment and recognize someone else here that's been a great influence in my life. And we talked about it here recently.
Someone's going to steal my thunder?
No, you don't have to worry about it because the Lord called him home.
Yeah,
but
I remember that.
Okay. Henry Blackaby, he was an author of the book called Experiencing God. And way back, oh man, I don't remember when it actually was published and released, but we found
that kind of opened the door for you on your journey here.
It really did. I credit Blackaby and Experiencing God with cracking the door open for me to see a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of seeing God and his plan.
Yeah.
Now, since that time, and I say to our listeners and watchers here, if you've not ever found that book and read it, I certainly recommend it. Because God used that man. And what's really ironic for me, Scott, is that from a denominational standpoint, he was not the voice that I would have considered to have been putting that message forward. He is, and I don't want to declare his denomination, but it was not a denomination that I would have considered typically theologically predisposed to this kind of teaching. But nevertheless, God used him and put forth that book, and it dramatically changed my life and a numbers of people that we helped go through that series. I don't know if you yourself went through it at all, but if you've not, I'd certainly recommend it. But I'm getting at this. When he said this as his fundamental premise, my ministry and growing up as a young boy in the Christian faith, very concerned about what God would have me to do. What was his will for my life? Right? And that
Amazon's got that book.
how's that?
Amazon's got the book for about $20 or so.
Okay, well worth it.
Yeah.
Well worth it. Get it. And read through it, and oh man. And so the fundamental question that plagued my life as a young boy and through it, excuse me, going into college in seminary, on my heart was to make sure I was doing what God's will was for my life. Right? Blackaby says that's the wrong question. What do you mean the wrong question? I didn't realize there was another way of asking this. And yes, the question is not what is God's
Can I
will for
tell you,
your life?
can I take a stab at that?
Okay.
Is you were asking, what God's will was for your life. It's not your life.
Okay. I didn't know that. See? And yes, you see where all this is going. But he said that the real question is, what is God doing and how can you join him? Boom. The whole world, my worldview and where I saw myself in the universe did a 180. In fact, I'll say just turned upside down on its ear. All of a sudden, Scott, I realize I am not the center, and God, I don't need to ask God to tell me what he wants me to do. I'm nobody. The point is, what are you doing, Father? And do I see it? Do I recognize it?
And
And
what you recognize now is it's the Father working through you.
exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to take a chapter out of the life of Christ when he said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father doing. And here's an illustration of what Blackaby would say in his own ministry. He was trying to work with campus students. And in those early days of his own ministry, and he was trying to affect some kind of spiritual, religious kinds of gatherings and wants groups and so forth. And he discovered that instead of just saying, okay, we're going to have a meeting and invite people to come, which of course, it's a standard procedure. He'd sit in a coffee shop and he'd sit down with people and say, have you ever had any thought about where you're going to wind up after this life? And
Yeah,
if those
you and I know somebody who was pretty good at doing
exactly.
that.
And he would measure their response if they said, yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot. Or, oh no, I'd be fully interested in you telling me more. Aha. There he could see a signpost that God's working there. Okay. And then he began to build on those kinds of confirmations with those people. And his ministry would explode. Right. So what I'm saying, watching for God instead of boldly stepping out on his own and thinking this is the way he's going to make his ministry run, instead stepping back and saying, okay, Father, Show me where you're at here.
Well, you know, I might be wrong, but isn't stepping out on our own like that? Isn't that kind of like taking him out of the picture and saying, okay,
Yes.
this is my show. I'm gonna
Yes, Kat, and I have to admit, much of that early ministry with, well, a lot of what I did was on that basis. God, I want to show you what I can do for you.
Well, that's what we knew, what we were taught.
Sure. Do great things for God. Yeah. No. It's not what I can do for God. It's what I can join God and He's already doing.
You can see God right there beside you going, hey, wait a minute.
Well, and
There's
He lets
something we
us.
need to
Yeah, no, He's very gracious, very patient. He lets us move off into those tangents, and then we learn. I thank God for that lesson. And that's not the only one, Scott. There are many other times where I've seen, oh, wait, okay, God, I recognize I'm on my own here. I don't see you in this. Okay.
But
So it comes back.
going through those times, doesn't that give us better insight now to look at a situation and say, okay, I can't do anything here. It's
Right.
not, it's not my responsibility or my power to do that. God,
Exactly.
what are you doing?
Sure. Exactly, Scott. And from the foundation that we're working on here, you have God in you, Christ in you. And so, yes, you should be hearing and interacting with this person that lives in you and as your life. Wow, you should, this is giving us a leg up, if you will, or an edge, and saying, okay, I'm seeing Father a lot more than I'm seeing ever saw him before. I'm more in tune with him than I've ever been before because of the fact that he lives in me.
I just wish that he'd stop telling me to eat pizza so much. Well, that's the voice I keep on getting inside of me.
Okay. God, are you in this pizza? Let's see.
God's pizza.
God's pizza. Oh my, yes, God.
Well, that's the inner voice, Dennis. I mean,
Yeah, oh sure it is. And we're not immune to that voice, God. And I agree with you. We should be able to go on what our desires are the Father's desires. And yes, that's essentially true, but we still have to recognize, as long as we live in this body, in this flesh, we are still prone to want to go back to the default voice.
But if we're in tune with the Father,
Yes, here you go.
we should be able to recognize what those
Absolutely.
self-serving desires are.
And that's all the, yes, what he's teaching us and what we're learning. And we go through these situations. And these are all learning, teaching moments that the Father is leading and teaching and guiding and working in us. And we are growing in that knowledge more and more. Our spiritual aptitude is expanding. Okay.
But what a joy it is when we have him share that with us.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you look back and say, thank you, Father. Yeah, you covered my rear on that one.
Yeah, he's done that for me more than a few times.
Sure. And he's there. Yeah. And even if I, as I said, there may be some consequences, he always provides us grace to live with those consequences and turn those consequences into brilliant messages. I always think of years ago, the famous preacher who said, God's going to turn your scars into stars. Yeah. Yeah. And they are.
Something else that was laid on my heart this week is that
Okay.
in the middle of my praying and studying and learning about prayer this week, what was laid on my heart was you can also pray for thankfulness.
Well, sure.
And I think of all, at that time, I thought of all the things that he's done, my job, You know, my employment, my health,
Sure.
all the things that we all too often overlook that he's provided for us.
Sure.
And a lot of times we fail to recognize that or pay it much attention.
No, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will.
Yeah.
He wants us to live in this attitude of gratitude. That's our essential position, and where you see, if we're in that position of everything we're giving God thanks for, we are right where He wants us, in that we're watching Him work in our lives. He's orchestrating situations. He's even in the tough times. He's in everything, and we simply need to say thank you, Father, because I know everything points to good. You're working everything for the good.
Can
Romans
we
8
ask him
28.
can we ask him to decrease the number of those tough times for me?
Well, yeah, you
Yeah, I get
can,
it. I get it. I know what a tough time is. Can we just like get past that and
but right. Now, in those times, you say, thank you, Father. This is tough, but I know you're there. And this wouldn't be occurring in my life had you not been a part of it. You know, as a you know exactly what you're trying to do and want to do in me and as a vessel. And it's only going to expand and show more glory for you. So, yes. You know, Scott, probably, as I've said before, the most brilliant response that I know of in the scriptures that illustrate faith and gratitude and willingness to let God in and use your life is none other than the young Virgin Mary. Remember? Now, she's just been told by God that she's pregnant. Now, if you talk about getting the faith of God, I mean, that's classic. That's not even something she'd dream up. In fact, she says, ah, this is not logical, not practical, not natural.
Oh, what was her first response? Her first response was, "How can this be?"
Exactly. But what does she come to, Scott? She comes to that final statement of saying, let it be as you have said. Let it be. Wow. Now, she was already betrothed, so she wasn't needing to go out and find a man just to make the thing work out right and to somehow consummate this, you know, through a sexual intimacy to make it work. No.
Yeah, but who was that man? He was a carpenter from Nazareth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can anything good come
No.
from Nazareth?
No. So as Jacob, or excuse me, as Joseph recognizes what's going on, he respects her, and they, I want to, I think it says somewhere, they had no intimacy till the child was born. See, this is all of God. Let it be as you've said. Now, what kind of signposts did she need? There were signposts. As you read the story, the first big one that she gets is from her cousin,
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Yeah. Bingo. That's the first one.
Family of John the Baptist.
Exactly. So all of this to say God is working. He's putting desires. He's giving us the faith. And we simply need to be asking and believing what he's telling us.
We're just along for the ride.
That's right. So you're feeling better about your requests and your.
Oh, one of the statements that you said earlier, you know, even with the scripture from Mary, let it be as you have said.
All right.
I know that I realize, and I know that I've had his word spoken to me, and
There you go.
that's what I was struggling with. I was like, okay, is that him or isn't it? I don't think.
Yep.
And we've all gone through that.
Oh yeah. Huh. Yeah. And he's teaching us how to refine that hearing ability and that what it gets down to what will you believe that I've talked to you? Will you believe the word that I've said to you? Yeah.
I do believe, but I want more proof. Yeah,
Hey, buddy. Good to chat with you. Glad
another
your
good.
fans have got to hear from you again today. Watch
Yeah,
the
they don't comment on anything from the land, so.
Well, okay, we're going to ask them to leave their comments at the bottom of the page here at the post for the podcast, and let us know what you think if you have any further questions.
We're not bad people, honest.
Yeah, and I will also list your blog URL, your site, and they can follow you, your latest post called Dream Killers, I think is what is it?
Yeah.
Dream Killers.
You're not a dream. You're not a dream killer, Dennis.
Yeah. Well, okay. Probably not. All right, buddy.
Another shameless plug. Hey, again.
There you go. Good to have this time with you. And we hope that everyone watching or listening will be inspired and encouraged
And
as
in
well.
demanding more conversations.
There you go. And we'll be back at you. So for now, have a good rest of your day and weekend.
Nice to see you again, sir.
We'll see you soon.
All right.
Take care.